Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Autism with Dr. Andy, and today's guest, Tammy Goldstein, is the mother of Heather, a young lady who was on the spectrum and has done wonderfully well thanks to Tammy's intervention as well as others. And Tammy wrote a book called Coming Through the Fog, which I have read, highly recommend. I've used it with my classes, and it's a story of Heather's her work, as well as others' work with Heather and the wonderful progress. So welcome, Tammy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm delighted. This is the second time Tammy's been on, and it's always a great show, so I'm sure it will be today. So Tammy, tell us first about you, and then we want to hear about Heather, then we're going to talk about your book and everything that happened.
Well, I was a mom, a travel agent, and when my youngest, Heather, was 13, she was diagnosed with autism. Last year when we spoke, I wasn't real vocal about this, but I have believed wholeheartedly that she was vaccine injured into autism. And she would ultimately have a health picture where she had 40 seizures a day. She produced life-threatening levels of adrenal stress hormones. She was diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, OCD, ODD, sensory processing disorders. She had severe immune system disorders. She had systemic rashes. Then there were some cognitive delays. And I ultimately stopped vaccinating after the hepatitis series in middle school, and she really deteriorated bad. Traditional medicine did nothing. We spent 8 years using pharmaceutical drugs and seeing medical doctors and mental health providers to no avail. That's when I quit my job and started researching autism and who was providing supports and where and what kind of work and what kind of presentation. And then I came back to the Midwest where I live and sought out those providers. So
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Could continue on.
Oh, I was just going to say, what really worked for us was we found an excellent occupational therapist. We actually got turned away from every OT in a two-hour radius from us because they didn't want to fight with the school district when they saw a 13-year-old. But I was lucky to find one who was certified in sensory integration as well, and she really led us on the path to functioning recovery. She introduced us to Uplager cranial sacral therapy, and she also introduced us to the biomedical therapies. And those three therapies were instrumental in getting Heather to functioning recovery. We had been recommended to institutionalize her when she was diagnosed because traditional pharmaceutical drugs were just not working, and they thought that they could provide more medication in that environment. And that's when I decided to look for something else, to see what other options were out there short of institution and pharmaceutical drugs. And I'm very fortunate that we did.
Wow. What a story. You know, folks who are listening out there, Tammy, and hear that all the diagnoses with the ADHD and OCD and cognitive delay and on and on, and also seizures, and nobody wanted to work with her. And I mean, this is just monumental. And so having you on and having moms like you on, I think provides nice sense of hope for folks out there who are saying, you know, my child is going to be institutionalized unless I do something. And, you know, I also know you personally from our meetings at Autism One, I just have such high regard for your tenacity and perseverance and intelligence, and I'm thankful you're with us today. So, in giving your positive message, let's talk more about Heather, and let's talk about the first thing that happened that seemed to turn the tide in the right direction.
What really made a difference for us was when we found an occupational therapist, and she heard all about Heather's odd and unique behaviors, sound sensitivities, sometimes a light sensitivity. Heather was beginning to shut down. You know, you hear about all, you know, children on the spectrum. Boys tend to be very overt and aggressive, where girls tend to implode on themselves or self-abuse or have eating issues. Heather started having issues really in second grade, where most kids want to come home from school and go outside and play with their friends. Heather was coming home from school and was so depleted, she was taking naps. I couldn't keep her awake. And that degree of meltdown escalated, certainly as she continued through school, where she qualified for no supports ever. But what was happening was that she would ultimately have these shutdown episodes where she would not be able to walk or talk for up to 5 days. And it was kind of progressive. First it was I would pick her up after school and you could see her get in the car and break down and the shoulders would come up and her full body tic was so out of control and wringing of her hands. By middle school, she'd been wringing her hands so bad she was tearing the skin off of her bones. And then she would crawl from the car into the closet where she would rock and stem for hours, sometimes babbling things I couldn't understand. Sometimes it was, I can't control my body, I can't control my body. And that ultimately became 5 days of shutdown where she couldn't walk or talk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was frightening. The big shutdown or the you know, I saw a decline in her health when she was around 2 or 3, and then I saw this other big decline after the hepatitis vaccines in preparation for middle school, and that was the second decline. And we would actually refer to the next 5 or 6 years for Heather as the lost years, from age 13 to about age 18, because she has little to no recollection of what was happening and didn't have a lot of control over her system.
Wow.
So, yeah. Thank goodness we found a qualified occupational therapist.
Tell me, the lost years, 13 to 18, you had stopped working already, is that correct?
I did.
Yeah. And it was during this time that you started to find some people who could help. So I know one of them was your occupational therapist. And were there some other folks as well?
Sue was really incredibly important. And she was also trained in upper cranial sacral therapy. So that was sort of the second aspect she helped us with. And then she referred us for biomedical therapies. And initially, I saw Dr. Jeff Bradstreet speak in a basement in Milwaukee. There were maybe 20 of us. And he was first starting about the implications of vaccines and vaccine injury. We're in the Midwest. He was in Florida at the time. And so, of course, we didn't have the money to go do that. But then we found Dr. John Hicks. And he turned out to be really invaluable. One of the first things he said to me after doing some evaluations with Heather, who was on medications for the attention deficit and very, very high levels of Zoloft, which is a pharmaceutical drug for depression, and he said to me, she's clinically overdosing on these medications, and they never, ever will help her because her chemical makeup is so depleted, she doesn't have the right chemical foundation for these drugs to work. So I am forever grateful to Sue, I hope I could say her name, Sue Kratz from Special Therapies, Inc., and certainly John Hicks for his work and expertise, and the Uplifter Institute International in Florida, who I was so impressed with the craniosacral therapy. At the time, the OT recommended craniosacral therapy. Heather's 40 seizures a day were impacting her ability. And a very prominent medical facility here in my state wanted to do brain surgery. They made it very clear that the seizures were not from an area of the brain of epilepsy, but they thought they could do brain surgery and poke around and see what would help. I was a mess as a mother. Emotionally, I was shaking. You know, how do you make that kind of decision? And that's when the OT said, let's try craniosacral therapy. And it did, in fact, improve the seizures, the OCD, and improved her sensory state. So those certainly were the people that came to our defense and helped us through a very difficult time.
Tammy, you mentioned it was either a hospital or a group in Florida. And would you tell me that again, please?
His name is Dr. Jeffrey Bradstreet.
Right.
And I believe they're doing Focus on Health now. I'm not really sure. But he was part of an international children's research facility at the time in Florida. And he was just doing groundwork on the implications of vaccines and autism. And he was working on this whole biomedical aspect that children on the spectrum have a different chemical foundation than those that are neurotypically normal. And that's what he was talking about. So I think that work all stems out of the work of Bernard Rimlin as far back as 1967. And if
you
look at...
Could you spell that name, please?
Rimlin, R-I-M as in Mary, L-Larry, A-N-D, Bernard Rimlin.
And the first name?
Bernard.
Okay, got that. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's part of the Autism Research Institute is what actually evolved from Dr. Rimlin's work.
Okie doke. And so Dr. Bradstreet, I met at our Autism One conference this year. I hope to have him on the show probably in October, November, and he is one of the most impressive speakers that I've heard.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And he broke down the science in a way that those of us that had no healthcare background whatsoever could understand, and it made sense. And certainly since that time, and, you know, we both know how much autism has evolved, and the knowledge of how the vaccines are hurting our children are involved. You know, he was really a brave man to start, you know, sharing that information. Heather's now 28 years old, and it was probably a good 10, 12 years ago when I saw him.
Wow. You know, folks, I want to make sure I get these names for you so that you can Google them and look them up. And Dr. Jeffrey, Bradstreet, if you Google him, you'll be able to find out how you can contact him. I'd also like to mention Dr. John Hicks, H-I-C-K-S, who was also an important person in the life of Tammy and Heather. And Dr. John Hicks is also a speaker at the Autism One conferences. So I just wanted to give both of those fellows a plug, Tammy, because I know how important they've been for you. Is there anyone else whose name you want me to mention so that folks can contact them?
Well, I could probably give you six different names. I don't know that one directly comes to mind. My biggest thing right now is I have worked with children on the spectrum professionally now for over 10 years, and, of course, I'm speaking nationally. And I'm running into more and more parents that are very concerned about the choices that they're making for their kids for health care. And I would like to make sure we put forth the effort to always remember that vaccine, taking them should be a choice and not mandated. When you learn how those vaccines are dangerous and how they open the blood-brain barrier by some of the medic toxins that are injected into the bodies, it's very, very important. Autism One has been a great, great asset to me in resources and information. And as I said, the Upledger Institute International, and for their services and for discovering craniosacral therapy and what it can do, has been invaluable. You know, those are the most important ones.
Yeah. I just wanted to also mention, Tammy, a lady that I was listening to just last night, Dr. Stephanie Seneff, S-E-N-E-F-F, who is a senior research analyst at MIT, and she also spoke and continues to speak about the dangers of vaccines, and she's quite eloquent, and I know that you probably are aware of her.
I am, and in fact, I quote her in the paper. I just wrote a paper to kind of give people an understanding of what is behind the vaccine debate, not just the science, but why we don't hear all the information we should hear in the country, and how the vaccines are hurting us. And I quote her. She's done research, actually, on Roundup, glossophytes, and the chemicals involved in them. And according to her research, one in two children will fall on the autism spectrum by 2025 just from the effects of the Roundup in the soil and how it's going to affect the foods we're eating. So she gave me wonderful resources on some of the brain studies that she's done. And I, one of the things I've done since Heather's recovery is I developed a 9-hour course, Applications of Upledger Craniosacral Therapy, Massage and Body Work for Autism. It provides continuing ed credits for professionals, and I've opened it up for parents. And I talk a little bit about the neuroanatomy and the differences between a neurotypical brain and the brain of a child with autism. And so some of her insights are now included in my 9-hour course. Everything I'm speaking about on autism, I have learned just since Heather's diagnosis.
Wow. Tammy, your 9-hour course, can that be taken online?
I don't have it set up online yet. I am working on that. There's a lot of information about me and the work I'm doing on www.comingthroughthefog.com. I'm easily contactable, so I have parents notifying me all over the country, and I'm attempting to point them in the right direction and help them any way I can. My husband and I spent every penny we had to get my daughter to functioning recovery. And I was really so incensed at what I learned. I really want to make sure I can provide and be a resource for others.
Folks, I want to give you that website again, because I'm going to talk with Tammy about taking her course myself. And additionally, you might want to not take her course, but also just chat with her. And so that website, folks, is www.comingthroughthefog.com. And Coming Through the Fog, again, is the name of Tammy's book. And I'm speaking today with Tammy Goldstein, G-O-L-D-S-T-E-I-N. Tammy, tell us about the vaccine issue. What happened with Heather? Were you ever able to prove that it was vaccine-related?
You know, I couldn't. And I have to tell you that I remember when Heather was a little over two, and she had a number of vaccines at once. And I remember calling the doctor and saying, tell me again what the vaccine side effects should be. And he told me an injection site, you know, redness, and maybe a low-grade fever. And I remember saying to him, should I be concerned if my child's running over 104 and on both legs, it's not just the injection site, but from the crease of her thigh down to her ankles were blown up like balloons. And he said to me, well, give her some Tylenol and put some ice on it. And so first she lost eye contact. That was the first change in her. I remember thinking, that's odd. She's like not engaged, really. You know, we lost those wonderful little facial expressions. She started playing next to people, but not with people. Her immune system began to shut down. And that continued to escalate. I happened to eat pretty healthy. So, you know, we were pretty all natural to begin with. But the other thing we have, Heather is 28 years old now. So the recommended vaccines at her age were 23 shots of 7 vaccines. Now it's 118 shots from birth to age 18.
Wait a minute. Would you say that once again, please? The numbers?
The recommended vaccines today are 118 shots from birth to age 18. 49 shots of 14 vaccines from birth to age 6, and 69 shots of 16 vaccines from age 7 to age 18.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Tammy, we have to take a short commercial break. When we come back, I want to go over that again, because some folks are going to want to write it down, including me. So, folks, we have to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back with Tammy Goldstein. And I will, as soon as we come back, I'll give you her website as well. We'll be right back.
Are you a parent of a child on the autism spectrum? Maybe you lead a classroom that includes students with autism, or perhaps you have a friend with ASD and would just like to know more. At AAPCpublishing.com, you'll find books that will help your child cope with stress in those high anxiety moments, teaching models that help you be more effective in the classroom, and fun games and activities that teach children the necessary social skills to build stronger relationships. AAPCpublishing.com, AAPC, formerly known as the Autism and Asperger Publishing Company, is the best resource for practical solutions to ASD. If you're looking to learn more about sensory issues, applied behavior analysis, or just how to prepare your child for high school or college, visit AAPCpublishing.com. Mention the promotional code ANDY, and customers will receive a 10% discount at AAPCpublishing.com now.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Whether you're taking a short trip or traveling across the world, Magellans.com is the world's most trusted source for travel, and they guarantee 100% satisfaction. They have everything you need to make travel just a bit more pleasurable. Who doesn't like that? They have travel alarms, clothing, the best luggage, wallets, everything you need except the ticket. Visit the advertiser page on HealthyLife.net and click on Magellans now. You will not only see their travel products, but get a free catalog and read articles with tips on how to make your travel easier. Visit the advertiser page and click on Magellans now.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hi, folks. This is Autism with Dr. Andy, and today's guest, Tammy Goldstein, is the author of Coming Through the Fog, the story of her daughter, Heather, and what they did to bring about Heather's recovery from autism. So welcome back, Tammy.
Hello. Thank you.
Tammy, let's talk about those vaccines again. And I know this may sound repetitive, but would you give me the number of vaccines from birth to age 6 And then you did it, I think, from 7 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
So birth to six. What did you say that was?
From birth to six, it's 49 dosages of 14 vaccines from the day of birth to age six.
Wow.
And then it's 69 dosages of 16 vaccines from age 7 to age 18. So
wow.
Heather was born in 87. Statistics from around 83, it was only 23 dosages of 7 vaccines. And the autism prevalence they thought was around 1 in 2,500. Those are statistics from about 1985. That's about all I could find. It gets kind of, they weren't really doing prevalence reports between, you know, yearly like they're doing now. And now, currently, as of 2013, 1 in 50. That's the autism prevalence.
Folks, when you're listening to this, and the reason I asked Tammy to repeat it is that in 1986, we had the establishment of something called the Vaccine Court. And I know, Tammy, that you know what this is, but I'm going to explain it to the folks that in 86, an agreement was made. Do I have that date right, 86?
You do. It was done in 1986. And actually what occurred was the pharmaceutical companies, the vaccine companies, went to the U.S. government and they said, we are no longer going to manufacture vaccines unless we have product liability. So imagine that. The only product developed in the United States that's completely absolved from all product liability are the vaccines that are injected into our bodies. So now you cannot sue a vaccine manufacturer or a doctor for administering those vaccines. But the government developed or built what they call Vaccine Compensation Trust Fund. And it's sort of like a closed vaccine court within our government. So every time you get a vaccine, a percentage goes as a kickback to either the doctor and or the health institute that they work for. And a percentage of that money goes to help defray the cost of vaccine court. You have a very small window of opportunity to file if you believe you were vaccine injured. And you must have substantiating doctor witness or belief that you were, in fact, vaccine injured. Now, doctors are trained that vaccines are only safe. So the percentages of people that either, A, know about the court or, B, can get a doctor to do that, they figure are less than 10%. And all of these statistics and everything I mentioned is on my website. So to date, that closed government vaccine court has paid out $3.9 billion in compensation for vaccine injury. And that's with a very small percentage of people being aware of it. So that's what makes, I think, not allowing parents to have choice regarding vaccines so detrimental. You know, we have no recourse if we believe they're affecting our children. And that's a problem. That's a problem.
You know, Tammy, when you say $3.9 billion, and that's B with a boy, billion, like boy, that's probably just the tip of the iceberg as probably what should have been paid out, but folks couldn't make their case for one reason or another, or didn't have the knowledge to go to the right people or the support system they needed to get this assistance. So my guess is that, and this is just purely a guess, but that $3.9 billion would probably be much, much more had people had easy access. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. Most people you talk to have no idea about it. No idea.
Yeah. And as you mentioned also, you have to get a medical doctor to say, yeah, I believe that this is a vaccine injury as well. And I'm sure a lot of folks don't want to do that.
Right. And it makes it very difficult. And I know My husband's career had us transfer a lot. So by the time Heather was 13, she had seen, I think, 7 pediatricians in 4 states. I continued to question the safety of the vaccines, and so many at once. Every one of those physicians dismissed my concerns. Completely dismissed my concerns. Even when she broke down again at the age of 13 and kind of disappeared on us and started having those 5-day shutdowns. I mean, to hear that your child is producing life-threatening levels of adrenal stress hormones and there is no protocol, no medical protocol to correct that, it's frightening. It's frightening.
So, Tammy, if people wanted to access the vaccine court, how do they go about that?
Well, you have to notify an attorney, and it's all done through a closed system, and your attorney will have to notify the Justice Department and file the papers accordingly. It's a closed court. There's not a lot of information about how things play out in it. There are some people that have dealt with it, that have written books on it. I don't have the name of anything off the top of my head right now, but people have spoken about how difficult it is, how long it takes. So, you know, you have to get in touch with an attorney. It's a very expensive process.
Yeah, and it sounds very expensive and very lengthy. Tammy, I had also heard recently that a lot of the records from the vaccine court had been destroyed or erased. Is that something you know anything about?
Well, I had read an article earlier today, or earlier this year, the past few months, I would say. There's a lot of hotbed issues with vaccines these days because of SB 277 and what's going on in California. But the government started the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. So even if you couldn't sue, there was a way for you to document your beliefs of vaccine injury and or death. And some of that information kind of disappeared off the website. So you couldn't always access all the factual information we were looking for.
Wow. Folks, we're going to be back for, we have 2 more 8-minute sessions with Tammy Goldstein. We're going to talk more about vaccines. We're going to talk about more about her book. And have a pencil and paper ready, folks, because a lot of what she's going to tell you is really important. So we'll be right back with Tammy Goldstein.
Are you a parent of a child on the autism spectrum? Maybe you lead a classroom that includes students with autism, or perhaps you have a friend with ASD and would just like to know more. At AAPCpublishing.com, you'll find books that will help your child cope with stress in those high anxiety moments, teaching models that help you be more effective in the classroom, and fun games and activities that teach children the necessary social skills to build stronger relationships. AAPCpublishing.com. AAPC, formerly known as the Autism and Asperger Publishing Company, is the best resource for practical solutions to ASD. If you're looking to learn more about sensory issues, applied behavior analysis, or just how to prepare your child for high school or college, visit AAPCpublishing.com. Mention the promotional code ANDY, and customers will receive a 10% discount at AAPCpublishing.com now.
Fasten your seatbelt as Dr. Annie McCabe's new book, The Gifted One, takes you on the ride of your life. A positive, fulfilling life, that is, if you accept the challenge. You'll fulfill your dreams as The Gifted One shows you you can have a successful, productive, and happy life. Now, here's your chance to accept the challenge. Get your copy of The Gifted One today at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, Kindle, and Nook, or visit AndyCityBear.com. You'll be in for the greatest ride of your life. The Gifted One by Dr. Andy McCabe.
In 1972, Sur La Table opened in Seattle, selling hard-to-find kitchen items, and now they have 55 stores nationwide, offering kitchen tools from around the world to prepare any cuisine. Sur La Table has a full range of houseware and kitchen products, even books and food. Visit a Sur La Table store, or better yet, for faster service, go to thehealthylife.net's advertiser page and click on Sur La Table. With the best products, gift cards, and sale items, you can be on your way to being a first-class cook right now.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, folks. This is Autism with Dr. Andy. Today's guest, Tammy Goldstein, is the author of Coming Through the Fog, the story of her daughter, Heather, and her recovery from autism. Welcome back, Tammy.
Hi. Well, thank you.
Tammy, let's talk about some of the Senate bills out there and other bills that are related to vaccines and autism. Can you speak about that for a bit?
I can. There were over 20 states, either the past few months were in the process or that are just initiating, removing vaccine choice from parents, so removing personal or religious exemptions, and are drastically limiting the medical exemptions to opt out of vaccines. So even if you've had a child that died from a vaccine, they will not be allowed. Your other children would still be expected to be vaccinated. If you have a child that's vaccine injured, they would still be expected to be vaccinated. Or the threats are they will not be permitted any public school education. So public school, technical school, colleges, your child would be excluded. So the hotbed area right now, of course, is California, and they're fighting one of the bills is SB 277. There have been some other little bills that have popped up to address various aspects of public health issues, but the one regarding public health and vaccines that I know of is SB 277. So imagine being your child would be excluded from school unless you have made sure your child is current on all mandated vaccines. And the other problem with that legislation is it's open-ended. So right now the recommendation is 118 vaccines, but you have 200 vaccines waiting for approval. So at what point can you say these are too many and I don't want them? The other big issue about mandating vaccines is what it does to our constitutional rights. Right? We're the land of the free. We have the right to free religion. We have a right to free speech, but we don't have the right to opt out of pharmaceutical drugs. The letter that went to the legislators in California talked about how the vaccine and a legislator mandating vaccines hurt our 1st, 4th, 5th, 10th, and 14th Amendments. We're not going to have choices. It makes it very scary. The nature of science is it should be individualized, yet the nature of vaccines is one size fits all.
Well, you know, you just took the words out of my mouth because what I was just going to say is one size fits all, which is ludicrous. And this really sounds like a police state. This is taking away our rights. This is the government being big brother and telling us what we have to do with our children. I think only moms and dads should have the right, or guardians should have the right to say what goes into the body of our child. And this is just so overwhelmingly upsetting. And Tammy, let me run something by you and I'd like to get your reaction. It seems to me like in most places, 90% or more of the kids are vaccinated, and generally up to where they need to be in terms of the number of dosages, etc. Now, those maybe 10 or less percent that are not. If the kids are already vaccinated, why are they worried about the 10% who are not? Because the kids...
Well, go ahead.
Because the kids who are vaccinated would be supposedly immune from whatever that 10% might have.
You would think so, and you brought up an interesting point. There was a concept that came out called herd immunity. And I'm trying to think of the year. It's been a while since I've spoken about herd immunity, but the gist of it was that the concept being if more than 50% of the population was vaccinated with a particular vaccine, then the population would be safe because the majority of the people had been vaccinated. Herd immunity, I think it was first used 1923. I think that's the date that comes to mind. Now, what's happened systematically since then is under the concept of herd immunity, more and more people needed to be vaccinated. So first it wouldn't work until 52%, then it wasn't going to work until 68%, and then it wasn't going to work until 78%, so on and so forth. Now you have a population where clearly you've got the majority of the people vaccinated. Measles, you've got 92 to 95% of the people vaccinated. So if herd immunity existed, clearly it's a concept that failed, then we should all be safe. And I mentioned measles. There has not been a death by measles in the United States for 10 years, according to the Center for Disease Control. So, you know, that's the thing about vaccination. Herd immunity is a concept that proved to be not valid. And if you believe your child is vaccinated, then there's nothing my child has that's going to affect yours.
Right.
The other concept or the other issue is, and it's not a concept, is some of the vaccines, the components in them are live virus. So in the cases of measles and mumps, in the cases of the pertussis vaccine, part of the DTaP or the Tdap, those are live virus. So if you've been vaccinated, you are now shedding that off of your body for a period of time.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And this is eye-opening. And as we're chatting here, Tammy, it seems to me that the push to have 100% vaccination could only be happening for profit. Because according to the herd immunity concept, which you explained, when we're at 90% or plus, we shouldn't have to worry about that 10%. Correct?
Exactly. Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know,
wow.
You have people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. now that is speaking on behalf of maintaining vaccine choice and transparency in the vaccine industry. And I'd like to share at some point about some of the things he has to say about that whenever you have time.
Good. So tell me, we have to take a short commercial break. We'll be coming back and we'll do just that. And additionally, I'd like you to tell our audience about some of the contents of the vaccine. What is actually in them? So folks, we'll be right back with Tammy Goldstein, author of Coming Through the Fog.
Fasten Your Seatbelt is Dr. Annie McCabe's new book, The Gifted One, takes you on the ride of your life. A positive, fulfilling life, that is, if you accept the challenge. You'll fulfill your dreams as The Gifted One shows you you can have a successful, productive, and happy life. Now, here's your chance to accept the challenge. Get your copy of The Gifted One today at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, Kindle and Nook, or visit AndyCityBear.com. You'll be in for the greatest ride of your life. The Gifted One by Dr. Andy McCabe. Psychic ability. We all have it.
It's time to understand, and now you can. With many faces of psychic ability, this entertaining and informative DVD gives you history, facts, and explains the 17 distinct and separate psychic abilities with personal stories by world-renowned and respected psychic Linda McKenzie. Order it today. Call 800-555-5453 or visit lindamckenzie.net. Call now, 800-555-5453.
In 1972, Sur La Table opened in Seattle, selling hard-to-find kitchen items, and now they have 55 stores nationwide, offering kitchen tools from around the world to prepare any cuisine. Sur La Table has a full range of houseware and kitchen products, even books and food. Visit a Sur La Table store, or better yet, for faster service, go to the HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Sur La Table. With the best products, gift cards, and sale items, you can be on your way to being a first-class cook right now.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, folks. This is Autism with Dr. Andy. Today's guest, Tammy Goldstein, is the mother of Heather, who... She wrote her book about, called Coming Through the Fog, Story of Heather's Recovery from Autism. Welcome back, Tammy.
Hi, thank you.
Tammy, let's continue with where we were talking about vaccines. You had more to say, and I had to go to commercial break. So tell us what you have on your mind.
Well, I've been listening to and watching the speeches and listening to what Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a big environmentalist activist who's involved in support of vaccine choice and transparency for vaccines. And he talks about the fact that 70% of U.S. mainstream media is all controlled by big pharma. 70% of the advertising dollars for mainstream U.S. media is from big pharma. So, you know, it's hard for mainstream media to speak out against anything, or they suffer the consequence of losing a lot of funding. So, but I encourage people, if you Google Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he is popping up in state after state after state in defense of looking into the vaccines and what's going on with them. Some of the vaccine ingredients that he talks about is the levels of aluminum and mercury. Sorbitol. Sorbitol is in your MMR, your measles, mumps, and rubella shot. It's the official FDA information on sorbitol is a warning that says not for ingestion. And yet our MMR shot, our measles, mumps, rubella shot, has 14 micrograms of sorbitol that's injected into the body. Not once, but that vaccine has 4 or 5 boosters as a child and a number of boosters when you're an adult. So aborted fetal cells, formaldehyde, animal cells, food antigens. Before the 1920s, we didn't have peanut allergies. But the more food antigens that are added into these vaccines, that's why you're seeing gluten-free these days. Everybody's allergic to gluten, wheat, dairy, soy. We didn't have these problems before all these vaccines. The other thing is, you know, they use animal parts. We're now seeing a simian 40 virus in humans that used to only be seen in apes, in monkeys, because they're using those animal parts. So there's a lot that goes into each of these vaccines, and each vaccine carries a different set of potential injury and or death associated with it.
Tammy, I don't know if I have his last name right, but I believe it's Dr. Andrew Boulder, B-O-U-L-D-E-R, the vaccine scientist who died mysteriously. Are you familiar with him?
I can't say I am.
Yeah. Well, we'll just leave that one alone then. But I know that a lot of people involved with vaccines have said to me that they feel that when they say something that is not congruous with the thoughts of Big Pharma, that they pay the price.
And unfortunately, that is true. In the vaccine paper I wrote, I actually quote Dr. Suzanne Humphreys. When she was asked what doctors learn in medical school about vaccines, her response was, "We learn that vaccines need to be given on schedule. We are indoctrinated with the mantra vaccines are safe and effective, neither of which are true. Doctors today are given extensive training on how to talk to hesitant parents, how to frighten them by vastly inflating the risk during natural infection, and on the necessity of twisting parents' arms to conform or fire them from their practice. Doctors are trained nothing bad should be said about vaccines."
You know, Tammy, whenever vaccines come up, the name Dr. Andrew Wakefield appears, and they say, "Oh, the vaccines are, he was a fraud, and that's not true, and blah, blah, blah." And I've heard it over and over, even from some folks in university. And would you enlighten our listeners a little bit about that?
Yes. In 1998, Dr. Andrew Wakefield and Dr. John Walker Smith from England co-authored and published a report in the Lancet Medical Journal. What it did was it linked the MMR, the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, to vaccine injury involving the gastrointestinal tract. Now, allegations from Brian Deere, who was a London Times reporter, who had some motivation from the pharmaceutical companies, initiated a lawsuit against Dr. Wakefield and Dr. Walker Smith that led to the revocation of their medical licenses and a removal from that report. Now, I kind of want to fast forward, because now we are in 2014. First off, the report didn't link directly to autism. It was linked to vaccine injury. Now we fast forward to current. You've got a couple things going on. One, Dr. Walker Smith, the co-author of this report, who was lucky enough to get funding for his appeal and has been appealing since 1998, finally got resolution and won, had his medical license reinstated, and he paid out to the tune of over 500,000 Great British Pound, which if you look at the exchange rate, which is roughly 1.56 U.S. dollar to the pound, that's how expensive it was. Now, Dr. Wakefield did not get funding for his appeal, and when his resources ran out, he was forced to abandon his appeal. Now, he came to the U.S., and he's continued to do research regarding vaccines and looking at ways to help vaccine children. But when you fast forward also to currently, there are two lawsuits going on, the United States versus Merck, one in Pennsylvania surrounding the measles, mumps, and rubella shot, the MMR, that has to do with the fact that there is information that they have that shows the efficiency rate needed for this vaccine to be approved was not met under the mumps criteria. So that's the first lawsuit. The second lawsuit was that Merck and the CDC, and we know the CDC is involved because there is a whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson, who has come forward and has received federal whistleblowing immunity and admits that some of the information and the study in regards to that MMR was omitted. That's how they termed it. They purposely omitted it. One was the degree of autism in what they called isolated children. So children that had no concurrent
medical condition and the rate of increase in autism in them. And the other aspect was that African-American children vaccinated under 36 months were 3 to 4 times or 385% more likely to develop autism. Now, Merck has already paid out millions of dollars to, and they lost the last injunction to get this thrown out of court, but there is a lot of controversy surrounding this measles, mumps, and rubella shot. So poor Dr. Wakefield got sort of swooped up in this whole thing, and his reputation greatly tarnished when, in fact, he was the first doctor that stood up and talked about vaccine injury, and none of the 13 families involved in the Lancet medical report were either allowed to testify in his behalf or were even admitted in the courtroom. I've spoken to some of them. I've seen their, they did a video. You can't deny the before and after pictures of what happened to these children after they were vaccinated.
So, if I understand this correctly, then because Dr. Walker Smith was exonerated, and because that he and Dr. Andrew Wakefield were co-authors of the study, even though Wakefield didn't have the money continued to continue with the lawsuit, because Walker Smith was exonerated, in fact, even in absence, in his absence, so is Dr. Wakefield.
Yeah, and I will also say that there are now a substantial amount of independent studies that draw the exact same conclusions as the report or the study written by Dr. Wakefield and Dr. Walker Smith.
Well, folks, we've come to the end of our show, and this has been absolutely wonderful, as it always is when they have Tammy on. I'm speaking today with Tammy Goldstein, author of Coming Through the Fog. That's her book, the story about her daughter Heather's recovery. And if you'd like to chat with Tammy or get her book or find out more information about her website, you can go to www.comingthroughthefog.com. Tammy, as always, thanks so much. Looking forward to chatting with you in the future, and your dedication and expertise is very appreciated.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And that's it for our show this week. Looking forward to chatting with you again next week, folks.